What do you think when you hear the word church? Some people, when they hear the word church, they think of a building. Of course, some of us, when we think of church, we think about a service filled with rituals and worship. Others of us think about the people. But sadly, some of us have darker thoughts when it comes to church. Some of us think church is boring. Some of us think, well, churches are abusive. Some of us might say, church is for perfect people. Whereas others would say, churches, they're full of hypocrites. Some of us might say, some of the best people I know go to church. Whereas others of us say, some of the worst people I know are in church. We've all got different experiences with church. And because of that, we carry different baggage and different ideas and different thoughts and different perspectives. And what I hope to do this morning is to cut through all the preconceptions and potential misperceptions and learn very simply that Christ Church is awesome. And I want to share with you four very important reasons that Christ Church is, in fact, awesome. Please be prepared, because by the time we're done, I am hoping to move you just a little bit closer to wanting to be a part of Christ Church. And I am going to invite you this morning to be a part of Christ Church and even to be a part of this congregation. And I hope to show you four very important reasons why you want to accept that invitation when it's offered at the end of our lesson. Before we do all of that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious God and Father, you are great and awesome. The ruler of heaven and earth, sovereign Lord, creator of all things, maintainer and sustainer. You sent your Son, and we love him. We want to be in him. We want to be of him. We long to be in his church, the blood-bought body that brings glory to your name. You are an awesome God. Our Savior is awesome. Your body, the church, is awesome. Father, thank you for letting us be a part of it. And for any who are here this morning that have not become a part of your church, I pray that their hearts and minds will be opened by your word, by your spirit, that they might long to be in that relationship with you, to bring you glory above all other things. You are magnificent, and we love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Christ Church is awesome for four very important reasons. I'd love to share these reasons with you. The very first thing that we need to understand about why Christ Church is awesome. Christ Church is awesome because Christ Church has an awesome Savior. If you'd like to, inside that program you were handed on that third page, there's an interactive outline. You can open that up and you can fill in some blanks and you can keep up with me as we go along. And the very first thing that you need to know is that Christ Church is awesome because it has an awesome Savior. Sadly, when many of us think of Jesus Christ and his church, we think of Jesus as a cosmic killjoy. We have the idea that Jesus came into the world to take all our fun away and to suck the pleasure out of life. That could not be further from the truth. Jesus is not a cosmic killjoy. In fact, Jesus is an awesome Savior. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." We need to understand that Jesus did not come into the world to stifle and stickle the living. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to save us. He came to save us from our sins. He came to save us from the wrath of God. He came to save us from ourselves. That is our Savior. Many of us have heard about Jesus Christ and his blood. Many of us have heard that Jesus shed his blood. But not many of us understand exactly what Jesus' blood accomplishes for us. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul tells the Ephesian elders what Jesus' blood accomplished. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Some translations say purchased. He bought, he obtained, he purchased, he redeemed the church with his own blood. Jesus came into the world because his church needed to be purchased. It needed to be bought. But I want you to notice who is bought. His church is bought. And while the blood of Jesus Christ can afford to pay for the sins of all, it was the purchase price for his church. This is demonstrated in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, Paul, as he relates marriage to Christ and his church, says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Who did he give himself up for? The church. That he might sanctify her. Sanctify who? The church. Having cleansed her. Having cleansed who? The church. By the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Jesus came into the world to buy the church with his blood, the purchase price, and to make that church clean and holy and righteous and without blemish. And I want some of that. Perhaps you, like me, have felt that. I want to be spotless. I want to be without blemish. I want to be holy. And yet far too often I have botched that. I have sinned. I have turned away from God. Jesus came into the world to purchase and save us from that, so that we could be a people that Jesus himself makes holy and without blemish and presents to his Father in heaven. But he does that for his church. And so, if you want that as I do, if you want to be holy, without blemish, without spot, presented to God in splendor, you have to be a part of Christ's church. Because Christ's church has an awesome Savior. Christ's church is awesome because it has an awesome Savior. But Christ's church is also awesome for a second reason. Christ's church is awesome because it accomplishes awesome work. Christ's church accomplishes awesome work. There are so many churches in the world today, and they go in so many different directions and strive to accomplish so many different things that it just makes our head spin. So many churches become distracted trying to accomplish political work and social work and recreational work and educational work and material work. And a lot of those things are good works. And somebody needs to pursue those things. In fact, anybody can pursue those things. Anybody can accomplish those works. But Christ has given to his church a work which only his church can accomplish. A work which only his church can do. And his church can accomplish amazing and awesome work. It's described in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth, a pillar and support. What does the church do? The church's work, the thing that only the church do. There is no other institution among man that can accomplish this work like Christ's church. It upholds God's truth. Now I admit, when you hear it like that, that seems a little bit of an anticlimactic letdown. But wait until you hear what Christ's truth can actually accomplish. This is what makes that so amazing and awesome. In John chapter 8 and verse 32 through 34, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But perhaps you're like the Jews who heard Jesus say that. Free? Why, we've never been enslaved to anybody. We're the offspring of Abraham. How is it that you say it'll make us free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. I know I hate to admit that. When we hear what Jesus says about us, I know I like to go about saying, I've been a pretty good person. But Jesus highlights, when I sin, I become a slave to sin. Have you sinned? Ever? Lied? Cheated? Committed immorality? Jesus says when we do that, we become a slave to sin. And there's no way to get out of that trap except by the truth of God, which Christ Church upholds. What an awesome work we have to share the truth that saves people from their sins. And when we do that, when we share that work and we have become free from our sins, that sets Christ Church free to accomplish the second aspect of the work that God has given Christ Church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The church can do what no one else can do. It can bring glory to God. And for those outside the church, I know that sounds somewhat stale, but for those who know the freedom from sin that Christ Church is offered, that we receive by the blood of Jesus Christ, this is an awesome work, and it is something that only we can do. Don't be distracted in Christ Church by all those other things out there. Somebody can do those, anybody can do those, but only Christ Church can share the truth message that saves people from their sins and sets them free. And only Christ Church can bring glory to God in the way that God has asked. What a powerful work we can accomplish when we are Christ Church. Do you want to be involved in not just meaningful work, but eternally meaningful work? And be a part of Christ Church, because Christ Church accomplishes awesome work. Christ Church is awesome because it has an awesome Savior. It's awesome because it accomplishes awesome work. The third reason Christ Church is awesome: Christ Church is awesome because it provides an awesome family. Christ Church is awesome because it provides an awesome family. Many today, when we use the word church, have common misperceptions. A lot of times when we think of the word church, we talk about a building. But the church is not, according to the New Testament, the building. A church certainly must meet somewhere, but it does not meet biblically in a church. And when we read the New Testament, the church is not the service of worship. Certainly, the church gathers to worship, but the church doesn't gather to have church. In the New Testament, we find that the church is the people. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, though this tells us about a very dark day for Christ Church, it demonstrates the point. Saul, who, by the way, if you've heard of him, becomes the Apostle Paul. He becomes the Apostle Paul because what he figured out is Christ Church is awesome and I want it. And that's what he did. But right now, he's still Saul, a persecutor, and he is ravaging the church. And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Saul is ravaging the church. What's he ravaging? Is he ravaging a building? Is he ravaging a service? No, notice what it says he's ravaging. He's dragging men and women off. What's he ravaging? He's ravaging people, because people are the church. And so when we become a part of Christ Church, we are becoming a part of an awesome family of people. And it's true that when you become a part of Christ Church, that there are a lot of sacrifices that are made. In fact, we lose a lot of things when we become a part of Christ Church. Sometimes family abandons us and turns their back on us. They simply can't handle that we want to be connected to Jesus, and so they leave us and they cut us off. I've known many Christians that's happened to. Sometimes we lose houses and land and property. Sometimes we lose jobs. But when we enter Christ Church, we gain so much more than we lose. Jesus talks about this in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 through 30. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Yes, when we enter Christ Church, there are those who will cut us off, and we have to leave them in order to be drawn to Christ. But we gain so much more. Houses, mothers, brothers, sisters. We gain an awesome family in Christ Church. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, I have seen Christ Church family up. In times of crisis, I have seen Christ Church gather together to be family to one another. When Houston and Southeast Texas flooded by Harvey, I saw Christ Church as it gathered together and as it sent supplies and help and it was already started rebuilding houses to the family of God. I've seen that. When Irma stormed its way up Florida, firsthand I got to witness as Christ Church familied up, as Christ Church checked on one another in preparation and checked on one another in the midst of it and came along and helped one another with cleanup. You know, it is often the case when those kinds of things happen that it is Christians who first get back on their feet, not because of government help, but because of the family we have in Christ Jesus, there to support and help one another. And all of this is just talking about the physical material aspects of the family that we have. Because there's a spiritual aspect that so far outweighs that, that it's amazing to me. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And in Christ Church, you can find those friends. You can find friends like that. I have found friends like that, family closer than a brother in Christ Church. In Christ Church, you can find family that will support and help. I can tell you personally, I have family, spiritual family in Christ Church that know absolutely everything about me. And when I mean they know absolutely everything, I mean everything. They know the things I like. They know the things I do. They know the things I hate. They know the sins I've committed. They know my embarrassing fears. They know the things that I struggle with. They know the thoughts that go on in my head. They know the dark little secrets that I normally don't want anybody to know. And you know what I have found from people in Christ Church when I share that with them? I have found support and love. Shoulders to cry on, ears to listen, arms to uplift and hold up. Challenge to move beyond, strength and help to progress and grow. All of that from the family in Christ Jesus. James chapter 5 and verse 16 tells us, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." In Christ Church, you can find the family that you can confess to. And rather than looking at you and belittling you and judging you and mocking you, what we do is we pray with you. We pray with you. We support you. And we help you grow. Because that's what Christ's family does. And I'll be honest with you. Look, I don't want to blow smoke. The fact is, we're sinners. And we mess up. And this is about progress. And sometimes we don't always act the way we're supposed to act as this awesome family. And so I don't want to act like nobody ever gets hurt, because they do. And I don't want to act like everybody always does exactly what they're supposed to in Christ's family, because we don't. We're not here because we're perfect. We're here because we're sinners that need a Savior. And we're here because we know in Christ Church is the only place we can find the kind of family that we want that is growing to that. And we grow together to that. Do you want that kind of family? Would you like to have that kind of family? Then come to Christ Church, because it provides an awesome family. And fourth and finally, Christ Church is awesome because it has an awesome Savior. It's awesome because it accomplishes awesome work. It's awesome because it provides an awesome family. It is awesome because it leads to an awesome life. It is awesome because it leads to an awesome life. Paul describes my life outside of Christ Church in Romans chapter 7. This is a lengthy scripture, but we need to read it. Read along with me here in Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That is what it's like outside of Christ's church. And that is what it's like for those who have claimed to come to Christ's church but are still trying to live without Christ. I want to do right. I've been there. I want to do right. I want to be that guy. And I even try to tell myself, I really am pretty good. But in those honest moments, I have to look back and think about those secrets that I normally keep from people and realize that I'm really not that good. I don't want to admit it, but it's just true. I'm really not. And I know that cry. I have uttered that cry. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise God, Paul didn't end there. There's actually the next verse where he answers that question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Who will deliver me from this death? God will, through Jesus Christ. It leads to an awesome life. And as he is delivering that, think about the kind of fruit that he is promising us. Here in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, Paul is not telling us here, pursue these things. He is explaining this is what the Holy Spirit of God produces in us when we are in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you want some of that? I want that. Nobody woke up this morning and said, you know what I'd really like is a good dose of hate. I want to be a hater. Nobody said that. Nobody woke up this morning and said, you know what I want today? I want misery. Misery would be great if I could just have a cup full of misery. No, we want love. We want joy. Nobody woke up this morning and said, I hope I can be out of control. I hope I can, I just don't want to be in control of anything. No, we really want self-control. We want that. And what God is saying is he'll provide that. The fruit of his Spirit in our life is this. Being a part of Christ's church produces this. It leads to an awesome life. And it is a growth process. I'm not saying that you enter Jesus Christ, you're baptized into him, and you come up and now this is all you have all the time. It's a growth process. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, it describes it as growth. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, it's about growth. We're going to be growing in these things. If they're increasing, they keep us from being ineffective or unfruitful. And notice this very last sentence. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ's church is awesome because it is leading us to an awesome life. But there's more. Because it's not just about this life and how this life goes. It's leading us to an eternal life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it is hard in this life sometimes. It is hard. In fact, in Luke 9:23, sometimes what we're told is that it's taking up a cross. It's taking up a cross daily. But what does that lead to? Eternal life. And though we suffer in this life, Romans 8:18 explains, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In eternity, there is a glory which we will experience and be part of as Christ's church, that all of the suffering and the hardship that we go through doesn't even compare. And so, yes, I admit, there are hard days in Christ's church. I have bad days in Christ's church. I have tough days. But I stand before you today to explain that my worst day in Christ's church is better than my best day out in the world. My worst day in Christ's church has been better than my best day out in the world. And Paul, because he is a part of Christ's church, even on the bad days when he was facing death, here's what he said. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. In the world, death is to be feared. Oh no, what if I die today? In Christ's church, if I die today, it is gain. And he goes on to say, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. That's what death in this life means for Christ's church. It means to leave this and go be with Christ. What a glorious eternal life that is. That is the life that Jesus offers to his church. And that's awesome. If you want to have an awesome life here and in eternity, you got to be a part of Christ's church. Christ's church is awesome. It has an awesome Savior. It accomplishes awesome work. It provides an awesome family, and it leads to an awesome life. And that's what I've been looking for. And that's why I'm a part of Christ's church. What are you looking for? If you'd like at this time, you can put your notes away, fold up the program, tuck it in your Bible or in your books or in your bag. We're going to be singing another song in just a moment. If you want, you can pull out your songbook and follow along. But the words will be up here on the screen behind me. What was the number for that one again, Matt? 372? Yeah, so if you want to follow along in the songbook, it's number 372. Matt's going to come up here. We're going to sing that in just a moment. Christ's church is awesome. I realize that this morning I'm talking to a spectrum of people. This is a good number of an audience. I'm talking to a spectrum of people. And it's hard to do that. Because that means that there's some people that I have one goal for and some people I really hope something else. But really I have the same goal for everybody, and that is move a little bit closer to being a part of Christ's church. I know that I'm talking to some people that have been in Christ's church and are in Christ's church. And for those who are in Christ's church, you know what this is about. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time talking to you. If you have faded away from this awesome life that Christ is offering you and providing for you and strengthening you, we want to help you. You can let us know about that by coming forward in a moment, by talking with the elders. They're going to be meeting this afternoon. They'd love to pray for you and help you. But there's some other folks that I'm talking to this morning. There's some folks who probably didn't know much about Christ's church. And at this point, you've heard the lesson, you think, yeah, I don't really want to know much more. And that breaks my heart. And I am going to be praying for you. And if you have any questions, I really ask you, let's talk about that. But there are others. There are others who didn't know much about Christ's church, but now your interest is piqued. I know you're not willing to make the plunge and jump right into membership now. That wouldn't be wise at all. I don't even really want to expect that of you. Here's what I'd like to ask of you. If you want to talk about that, you want to draw a little bit closer, you want to know a little bit more, you can let us know by texting question to that number on the screen. It'll send you a little message to your phone. You can fill that out and somebody will be contacting you. You want to know more about Christ Church? Just let us know. You can talk to someone at the guest center on the way out. We're going to have a couple of extra tables set up in the back. You can talk to them. They'll connect you with somebody that can help you with that. Or you can text question to the number that's up on the screen. We want to help you draw closer to Christ and His church. But I'm talking to some who, whether you've known a great deal about Christ Church or not a great deal, now that you've heard how awesome it is, you're wanting some of that. I don't blame you. I mean, who wouldn't want that? And you're sitting back wondering, how? How does that happen? In Acts chapter 2, I know you don't have your Bibles out. I don't have it on the screen. I'm just going to read this to you. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, there were some people that said they wanted this and they asked, what do we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that day they were added to the church. You can do that today. But look, I get it. For some of you, that's the first time you've ever heard of that. And you think, well, I mean, I want to be a part of Christ Church, but I don't know that I want to go up there and have you dunk me under the water. Okay, well, text baptism to this number. This is new for our congregation. So for our guests, our members are seeing this for the first time. But if you have questions about baptism, you can text baptism this number. And somebody will be calling you. And we'll answer your questions. We'll walk you through it. Explain how it works and what it's about. Or you can talk to somebody at the guest center on the way back. You can talk to me. I'll be back there. Or I tell you what, if you're ready to make that plunge right now, if you want to be a part of Christ Church right now, I'm going to be standing right here. My brother Andrew is going to be standing right over there. We're going to sing this song and you can walk down to the front and we'll talk to you right now. We'll take you to the baptistry back here. We'll immerse you in the water and you will be added to Christ Church as we raise you to walk in a new life. And you will be a part of Christ's awesome church. If we can help you with that today, we invite you to come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.